Our scripture today comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. In the first book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are asking that you be with us now. Allow the words that have been prepared, O Lord, be words that will fall on good soil, and that we, your people, might hear them and be a testimony and a living witness to your love and to your grace and to your mercy. Remove me from everything, O Lord, and let you only be seen. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. We are living witnesses, each and every one of us. We all witness things. We witness the good, the bad, the indifferent. We witness the atrocities of the world, and we sometimes wonder, where is our God? You know, Pastor John spoke of the incident in Virginia Beach, which is very near and dear to me because I lived in that area for nearly 35 years. The municipal center, I remember when it was built, and I went down there oftentimes because I did not live far from there. And the people there are still near and dear to you, just like their family, because they are. And we also witness other atrocities. We know we hear about wars and rumors of wars. We hear about the political climate that just is sickening to us sometimes. But we also see and are witnesses to the great things that God does. We witness things like the milliner's daughter getting married. We witness things like the birth of our children, the beauty of God. We witness things when people are having these tragedies, how some are willing to dig down a little bit further and do just a little bit more to help them out. We witness those things too. And that's what being a witness is about, a living witness. God cannot use a witness unless, or he cannot use your witness unless you give it to him, unless you are willing to be that living witness, that person who speaks and helps. You know, I mentioned to the children that we have hands and eyes and ears and mouths. We all see these things, but how do we see them? Do we see them in a world without color or without any kind of blinders on? Do we hear about these things that are happening or hear the things that are happening to others? Do we listen with compassion? And when we see and hear these things, are we moved to speak out and be a voice for the voiceless? Are we willing to have the hands that help and make things better for those who need us the most? That's what being a living witness is about being called to action and doing all that God is calling us to do. And we are all living witnesses, each and every one of us. We're witnesses to God's grace and his mercy and his love. And I venture to say, and I will say it because I'm 100% sure of it, none of us would be here without those things, without a little grace, without a whole lot of love. But we don't receive those things just to say, oh, this is what I have, but we receive them with open hands so that it may be poured out into us and that more grace and more love might be poured out into us. And by our example to others as being a living witness, it may be poured out to them as well. That's what being a living witness is about spreading the gospel, about helping others, about going the extra mile to make sure that someone else who does not know the love of God in their heart because they haven't felt it might feel it by our actions and in our words and in our thoughts and in our deeds. That's what the apostles were trying to understand and learn from Jesus Christ during his time. The book of Acts is written as an historical document. Most scholars view it as an historical document. It tells the history, and it starts off with Luke speaking to Theophilus, and we know that this was Luke because he also spoke to Theophilus in the Gospel of Luke. And in this history lesson, he talks about all the things that the apostles were going to do and all the things they were going to endure, including the Apostle Paul and stuff. And it is a historical document because these things can be verified. But here, in this part of the chapter, Christ has come back to the disciples. And for the next 40 days after his crucifixion, he spends time with them, again, teaching and preaching to them and helping them along the way. By being an example, by being a living witness, even though he was supposed to be dead, by being a living witness to all of God's love. And while he taught, he tried to help them to understand what they were going to endure, what they were going to go through. You have to understand, Christ knew what the apostles were about to face. He understood that many of them would be martyred or killed, imprisoned, beaten, shackled up. He understood that they would go through these things not because of their own name, but because of his name. He loved them so much, and knowing that what they were going to endure, he came and he spent more time with them just to continue to prepare them. He does the same for us. He understands that we're going to be persecuted just because of our religion. He understands that as we hold to our beliefs, others will look at us as being archaic or extinct or unnecessary. But we are necessary. We are the necessary men and women who are that living witness for Christ and all that he does and all that he's doing through us. That's who we are. Verse 3 says, he presented himself alive to them after suffering many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait. He ordered them to wait because he had a promise for them, and he wanted them to be patient for this promise. Now, if many of you are like me, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. There are some times that we're not very patient and want to wait the way we're supposed to. But in that patience and in waiting, we prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves to be a living witness when we are listening to God's holy word. When we take the time to study and to read all that God has for us. When we take the time to literally get ourselves ready. Many of us have jobs, and some of us have to commute to Atlanta. And you can't tell me that you don't have to get yourself ready for that traffic every morning when you're getting ready to go. None of us would want a carpenter to come into our house and he's not prepared to be a decent carpenter. You know, it's kind of like that commercial where it says, almost good enough, might not get it. And I would certainly hope that you would not want to have a preacher to walk up here and he has not tried to prepare himself or herself to preach. We are all called into a season of preparedness where we get ourselves ready to be that living witness. It takes time and effort. It takes strength and patience. Christ understood this, and as he told the apostles not to leave Jerusalem but to wait, he understood that they were not quite ready for what they were going to face. You and I are not always quite ready for what we're going to face. Some mornings we get up out of the bed and we're just not feeling it. We don't want to go. We don't want to be bothered. We're not all we're supposed to be. And if somebody saw us, and they might or might not believe we're Christian. We're human. We do make those mistakes. But understand that Christ is calling us to be a living witness. And in doing so, he asks us to prepare ourselves. So even in those days when we're really not feeling our best, we have to understand there's this little thing called forgiveness and grace that's sitting there waiting for us. It doesn't mean that we go out of this world and act the way we want to and do what we want to do. It just means that God understands that we are human. Not as an excuse, but a fact of who we are. So as we prepare ourselves, when we get ready to go to work or if we get ready to go to church, you know, if you're preparing yourself, you're always doing something to prepare yourselves, then we have to always guard and prepare our minds for what's ahead. You know, this morning I mentioned that, you know, when we're not always our best, you know, it's easy for us to fall into doing those things that we shouldn't do. The words that come out of our mouth that are less than seasoned. The actions that we might commit when we haven't really taken the time to sit down and prepare our spiritual self. Oh, yes, we get prepared when we get ready to go do all these things. We get up, we brush our teeth and take a shower. We eat some breakfast sometimes. Sometimes we don't have time. We got to rush the kids and everybody else out the door. And then we go in and we start the car and we're getting ready and we go, we got to go through all this traffic. We prepare ourselves physically and mentally for those things. But how often do we prepare ourselves spiritually? To be a living witness means that we are literally taking time to get ourselves ready to do all that God is asking us to do, to be all that God is asking us to be, to help those and to witness to those and to be there for that person who might be having a bad day, and we, by our witness, show them a better way of dealing with a bad day. Because we all have them. Every last one of us has had a bad day. But he tells them, no, he continues to tell them to stay and to wait, and he ordered them to do so that they could continue to prepare themselves for the task at hand, what they were going to face. But then he tells them the promise that he promised. He says, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the fifth time we've heard of the promise of the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels speak of it, and here in this one chapter, Luke will speak of it twice, where Christ says we will receive the Holy Spirit, that special gift. God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might understand and learn about how much God truly loves us. But when Christ could no longer stay upon the earth, he promised there would be a time in which God's Holy Spirit, will still be with us. Even here now today, God's Holy Spirit is still with us to convict us, to comfort us, to guide us, to help us along life's journey. In those times when we're not feeling our best, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of ourselves and allows us to see ourselves if we listen to him. In those times when we seem lost and we know that there's somebody who might need a word from God and we have no words to give, it is the Holy Spirit that helps us and guides us along that way to help that person, that man or that woman or that child. And when we're hurting, as we so often do in this world, when we're truly hurting, it's the Holy Spirit that comforts us and allows us to know that no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it might seem today, we will endure it. His promises have been around for centuries. His promise to never leave us nor forsake us. His promise to be with us, to guide us. His promise, he says, go ye therefore and make disciples, and lo, I will be with you even unto the end of days. I mentioned earlier that my children will probably smile now. To get me to say I promise is very difficult. Every now and then I bump my head and say, yeah, I promise we'll do this. Oh, boy. It means that no matter what's going to happen, I don't care how tired I am or how much I got to do or how frustrated I am or if I'm not feeling well, they don't want to hear any of that. All they know is you promised. Oh, y'all are smiling because it happens to you too. And in that promise, you have to do those things. But as human beings, we have to times break our promises unintentionally. Unintentionally. But isn't it so great to know that God's promises have never been broken? Not one of them has ever been broken. And that gift that he promised, that gift of the Holy Spirit that he promised the disciples, are still with us here today. This is how we become a living witness, is by letting others know that that gift is still with us. That no matter what we're going through and no matter how difficult it is, in those times when we don't think that we can endure, the Holy Spirit is there with us. God's living Spirit is with us, his living witnesses. His living spirit shows us his love and the depths of his love. And in that showing of it, he expects us to be that living witness to show it to others who do not know him and the power of his resurrection, yet need us, each and every one of us, to show others by an example of what we say and what we do so that they too might find Christ Jesus in their life. So not only has he been preparing us, he's giving us tools so that we might be for him the hand of God, that we might be that voice for that person who has no voice, that we might hear others who are struggling and hear them with such a compassion that we're moved to action, and that we might see with compassionate eyes. All of those things are just those gifts that he gives to us to be what he calls us to be. We're each living witnesses because we're still alive. We're living witnesses because we have the love of God in our hearts. We're living witnesses because we're called to tell others about the beauty and the love of Christ. But sometimes we can be just like the disciples. We still don't always quite get it. We still don't always quite get it right. And so when they had come together, this is verse number six. When they had come together, they asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." The disciples sometimes could be thick. They didn't quite always get it, and they were right there with Christ. They did not quite understand it, that Christ wasn't just coming to restore the kingdom of Israel, but he's restoring the kingdom of God. You and I have to be the kingdom of God on earth. We have to be that example of God's love and his grace and his mercy. And this is what he was trying to get the disciples to understand, that I'm not just coming just for the people of Israel, but I'm coming for all people. And it had to be very difficult for these men, because understand that for all their lives, they had been promised that one day a Messiah would come and restore the kingdom of Israel. He would do what David did. He would do what Moses did by bringing them out and helping them along the way. But what they did not understand is that Christ came for all of his people, and we are all his people. We are all those living witnesses about his love and his grace. We are all the ones who have to understand that no matter what's going on in this world, our God is in control, and we are the ones who are supposed to help others who don't believe that, who can't see that, whose pain is so intense and whose lives are so mixed up and so full of turmoil that they can't even think of God, not to mention hear how much he loves them. So in those times when we've gone through some of the things that we thought we could never, ever possibly get through all the pain and the loss, through all the misery and the heartache that we have dealt with, understand it just strengthens us in our living witness. Because when others see how we got through what they don't think they can, they want to know, what must I do to help myself along the way? And that is the perfect time when you can help that one man or that woman to understand that no matter what they're dealing with, no matter how deep and how dark the pain is, God's light and love will be there for them. That is our task, to help others, to love one another, and to show God's love in everything that we do and that we say. And in doing so, he tells them, says, "But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit once it has come upon you, and they will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and in Fayetteville and in Fayette County and in Georgia and the United States and to all the ends of this earth." For over 2,000 years, this is how the gospel has spread. This is how the good news of Christ's love and his grace has spread. Through living witnesses, through those who have shown by example and by words what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You and I are that living witness, and our task is to continue, to perpetually continue to give to others what they may not have, so that the gospel continues to spread. You might not go to the ends of the earth to spread the gospel, but somebody you might touch, somebody you might show love to, might just do that. That's who we are. That is our task, to be a living witness to all that God has done in our lives and what he can do in the lives of others, to let others know that there is a possibility for change if they just have faith. So we have to take the time to prepare, to truly prepare, and have patience with one another, and to love one another, and understand that all these promises that God has given are still for us here today, and for those of us, not only for our children, but our children's children's children, and far off as we can imagine. And if we understand that, if we understand our purpose and what we're here to do, then we too may become that living witness that others might know the beauty and the love of Christ. And then we might on one day see him for ourselves and he say to us, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to all that you do in our lives. Father, when we have fear that keeps us from doing what you've called us to do, help us to set aside fear or anxiety or indifference. Help us to set those things aside so that we might be the living witnesses you called us to be. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.